Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, family, right here. Here we're at the middle of the Shavua, the middle of the Shabbat. And when I say Shabbat, there's two ways of Shabbat. Shabbat also refers to the week, the full 7 days. Here we're in the middle of the Shavua, right here, the Wednesday podcast, Wisdom Wednesday. Wednesday Wisdom Podcast here on the Ian and the Iris. Make it rise up the chair. Yes,
Salamta, Beta Seb. Greetings and welcome, family, to this special episode of Wisdom Wednesday with the Rastamandem here on Discipleship Radio.
So here. Yes, I begin with the evening psalm, Psalm 94. It's interesting. Just like to note right here at the outset. Right, we have today's daily psalm, Psalm 42. We had addressed, according to the royal order, Psalm 43. And the two psalms, they go together in the royal order. We had previously Psalm 43. So here we're getting to like the root of this of these two psalms here. Psalm 42, beginning, book two of the Psalms. But the evening psalm is an interesting psalm. It's a plea. A plea for divine judgment. And it doves with the first of the double portion. So we have like a double, in the sense of double psalm here over these, we say these 2 days, the first day, the previous day, Psalm 43, the daily psalm, and here we have Psalm 42. But now the standing psalms, the evening psalms, we have Psalm 94 for the fourth day of the Shavua. The fourth day of the strong, the fourth day of the week, the fourth day of the 7 days, the midway day right here, we have a plea for divine judgment. And the theme here, it echoes even the first part of this double portion here as we're completing the fourth book of Moses, the book known as Numbers, Bamidbar, in the wilderness, the Hebrew perspective, in the wilderness, translation, the book of Numbers. But both is true, seeing that this book does have a lot of numbers, right? Very interesting numbers. But here, going to Numbers chapter 31, it says, And Yahuwah spoke to Moses, saying, avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Afterward, thou shall be gathered to thy people. Vaydaber Yahuwah el Moshe leimor, and Jehovah spoke to Moses leimor, saying, Nikom, Nikamat, avenge in avenging, Nikom, Nikamat, Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel. Me'et ha-Midianim, of the Midianites, achar, afterward, speaking to Moshe directly, te'asef, and afterward, you will be gathered il to Ameka, and afterward, thou shall be gathered to thy people. So what we have right here, in the first part of this double portion here, Numbers chapter 31, of the Midianites. Although the Moabites were the instigators of the campaign against the Bnei Yisrael, against Yasharallah, against Yisrael, no war of retribution. So this vengeance, avenging, retribution, no war of retribution was decreed against them. Why? Because they had some excuse in that they saw themselves threatened by the approaching sons of Yisrael, of Yasharallah, the Bnei Yisrael. But the Midianites, who had no cause, they had no cause for entering into the quarrel with the Bnei Yisrael, with the sons of Israel. They deserve punishment, right? They deserve punishment. As we read further here, right, we're in verse 3 now, Numbers chapter 31, and here this is to Rhema, bring a right now word right here with today's the evening psalm, Psalm 94, and the theme in the evening psalm. Psalm 94 has a theme, a plea for divine judgment. And the first verse of Mizmor Sadai Dalet, El Nekamot, Yahuwah, El Nekamot, Hofia, O Jehovah, thou El, thou power, El Nekamot, thou El power to whom vengeance belongeth, thou El power of Nekamot, of vengeance, El Nekamot, Yahuwah, O he who be who he be, El Nekamot, thou El power almighty to whom vengeance, Nekamot, belongeth, Hofia, shine forth, Hofia. El Nekamot Yahuwah, El Nekamot Hofia. So we have here at the midway, you know, in the middle of the seven, like that central branch of HaMenorah, we have the Wednesday here, the middle day of the 7 days, the midway day in the Shavuot and the week. We have the plea for divine judgment. And here in the evening psalm here for the fourth day, the tone, the style, the manner of the Mizmor, it sharply contrasts. There's a contrasting of sharp proportions with the preceding psalms, with like Psalm 93 and those before, and also the succeeding psalms, like 95, 96, as you know, those are the Kabbalat Shabbat, initiating the Shabbat time, picking up from Psalm 95. But here we have a psalm that sharply contrasts both the preceding and the succeeding psalm. And this psalm is appointed for reading on the fourth day. And it is said in the temple in Jerusalem that the Levites, Halloween, chanted this very psalm on the fourth day of the Shavuot. So what is this psalm about, and how does it reflect at least the first of this double portion right here in season as we complete for sabbatical 42 and 43, a double portion? Well, it's in the idea of vengeance and revenge, and vengeance is a theme right here with the supreme judge. Right, the judge, Shofet HaOlam, is invoked, right, evoked, and even we can say provoked, right? Thou El, to whom vengeance belongeth. When we look at the Hebrew here for the evening psalm, Mizmor Tzadai Dalet, Psalm 94, the Wednesday, fourth day evening psalm, Psalm XCIV, that is themed the plea for divine judgment. We have in the first two verses, the supreme judge is invoked. Translators translate here, thou God, to whom vengeance belongeth. But the Hebrew, El Nekamot, Yahuwah, El Nekamot, Hofia, El, power, El Hayel, highly, El Hayel, power of vengeances, El Nekamot. The plural of intensity is used here. It's not El Nekama, God of vengeance, and just in a singular sense, but here we have the plural sense, Nekamot, El Nekamot, the plural of intensity, the El, the Hayel of great vengeances, or the El to whom, who avenges thoroughly. Now, here, a note in the commentary right here, briefly here, as we just link the Rhema word in this double portion right here, and one of the themes in this double portion, namely the order that Jehovah gave to Moshe concerning the sons of Yisrael to avenge, right, the children of Yisrael of the Midianites, And moving forward, it says, and Moshe spoke to Ha'am. He spoke to the people, saying, arm y'all men from among you for the war. Now, I think it's interesting how the KJV brings it out right here. We're looking at the Chumash right here, but let's bring the KJV, on the stand, so to speak, up to the Bema right here and see the testimony so we can know the truth for ourselves. So here, 30, 31, Numbers 31. The King James Version says right here, and Moses spake to the people saying, arm some of you yourselves, arm some of yourselves to the war, and let them go against the Midianites and avenge Jehovah of Midian. This is how the KJV brings it out. Here, Hebraically in the Chumash, we have the translation and the Hebrew side by side, but the English says right here, Moses spoke to the people saying, arm your men from among you for the war, that they may go against Midian to execute Jehovah's vengeance on Midian. So this is comparing those two readings right there. One, the KJV, once again, and Moses spake to the people saying, arm some of yourselves to the war and let them and make them go against the Midianites, call Medina, and avenge Jehovah of Midian. While from the Hebrew, right here in the Chumash, in the Torah, here we have this translation side by side with the English, Moses speaking to the people saying, arm your men from among you for the war, that they may go against Midian to execute Jehovah's vengeance on Midian. So then the part that we're zooming in is the part here where one translation says to execute Jehovah's vengeance on Midian. Then the KJV says, and avenge the Lord of Midian, avenge the Lord of Midian, or to execute Jehovah's vengeance on Midian. So the English can kind of read in a sense, well, you know, like, well, we are avenging on behalf of Jah, like we are, you know, like defending God in a sense, while the Hebrew brings out the sense, no, you're going forward to execute the judge's decision, right? Jehovah's decision, and the decision here is vengeance. We also notice here with the Hebrew side by side, we have vengeance, and over here we have avenge, right? Avenge, right? So to execute Jehovah's vengeance. So what does the Hebrew say right here? Verse 3, the Gimel verse, why daber Moshe illa ha'am aleimor? Why daber and saying and speaking Moshe, Moses il to ha'am, to the people, leimor, saying, hey, chalzu, hey, chalzu, mei itekem, hey, chalzu, arm up, hey, chalzu, hey, chalzu, hey, chalzu, hey, chalzu, mei itekem, mei from itekem, from among your mei itekem, anashim, men, la tzava, tzava, la tzava, la tzava, modern Hebrew, la tzava, la tzava, with Yehiyu all Midian, and they will be all up on Midian, and they will be these who will be armed with Yehiyu, and they will become all on Midian, latate to go nikamat, the vengeance Yahuwah, the vengeance of Jehovah, the Midian, against Midian. So the Hebrew here, the Hebrew to English is much better, a little clearer than the KJV. So these who were to be armed, hechalzu me'itekem anashim, the men who were to be armed, la tzaba, to go forth to the tzava, to the war, la tzaba, that they may go against, that they may be on Midian with Yehiyu, and they shall be all on Midian, latate. Latate has a sense like to go or to give. It can also mean like to give, to go, right? To go against. And the nikmat is the vengeance of Yahweh, be Midian, because in the beginning, here of the chapter, it says Yahuwah, Jehovah spoke to Moshe saying, avenge the Bnei Yisrael. So Jehovah, to whom all vengeance belongs, he's the one that gave this. So this is to execute his sentence. The enemies of Yisrael, Yasharallah, are the enemies of Elohim. Hence, the alternative expression of Jehovah's vengeance here and the vengeance of the children of Yisrael in verse 2. So some point out, well, whose vengeance? Some might claim that, well, it's just the children of Israel. Well, if it was just the men and people of Israel, they would have gone after probably Moab and Midian, right? But because this was Yahweh's, right, decision, it was his judicial decision. So now how does this link here with today's daily psalm? Well, in the theme of vengeance, yes, all vengeance belongeth to Yahweh, right? And he be the judge, right, who seat above all. And here, he has commanded, issued an order, right, to carry out vengeance against the Midianites. So the Wednesday psalm, Psalm 94, which contrasts with the preceding psalms, the psalms before 94, 93, 92, 91, and the psalms after, Psalms 95, 96, 97, there's a definite contrast here. And in the evening psalm, far from El, the Almighty's sovereignty being acknowledged, far from Jehovah's sovereignty being acknowledged and enforced over the earth, over the earthly plane, what do we have? We have a state of moral chaos prevailing in that justice, tzedek terdov, justice thou shalt pursue. Justice, however, in this moral chaos is denied to those who need its protection the most. Perhaps it's in this idea is its place within the group of psalms here, the 90 psalms, the psalms here in the 90s, right? We have Psalm 94 here, the Wednesday evening psalm. Then we also have Psalm 95 to Psalm 99 plus 29. Then we also have for the Sabbath day, Psalm 93 and the Friday evening psalm, Psalm 92 for the Sabbath day and the Friday evening psalm, 93. So we have these psalms, but yet this psalm here, it stands in sharp contrast to the preceding and the following. So what is the idea here? In Psalm 93, for example, when we study Psalm 93, the preceding psalm, to the evening psalm here, 94, Psalm 93 proclaims an ideal, we could say like a template. This psalm here, Mizmor Sadai Dalet, Psalm 94, this psalm, it dwells upon the stark realities, the factum, the realities that disclose so different a state of things. The following psalms, like Psalm 95 to Psalm 99, as I and I know, the Kabbalat Shabbat, these are the psalms that initiate. We bring in the Sabbath with Psalms 95 to Psalm 99, the psalms after Psalm 94. So we have the following psalms. They resume the joyful note because of the unshakable assurance. Jehovah Yahuwah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem. He has given I and I assurances and the unshakable assurance. We credit Yeh and Amen in the ultimate realization of the ideal. And what's the ultimate realization of the ideal? Good over evil. Give us a teaching of his majesty, that realization of good over evil. So here, who are the downpressers and the downpress? Who are the oppressors, the ops, right, and the downpress? According to one interpretation with the Psalm 94, the evening psalm, Wednesday psalm, the middle of the Shabuah psalm, according to one interpretation, it's foreign nations. It's foreign nations, it's the Goyim, right, other nations who are acting ruthlessly against Yasharallah, against Yisrael. Others, they hold that it's actually lawless or Torah-less, non-Torah observant, Torah-less, lawless Israelites that deal unjustly with their brethren. Now, in today's Daily Psalm, the latter is the view that is here adopted. And this is should be noted by the Talmudim, the fellow disciples. In some psalms, most psalms, when we have ops and down press, we have to decide and have to recognize, well, who is it speaking about? It can be speaking about foreign enemies, right, or domestic enemies. So one interpretation of today's psalm is that it's other nations who are acting ruthlessly against Yisrael. Others hold that it's lawless, Torahless Israelites, B'nai Yisrael, children of Yisrael, of Yasher Allah, who are dealing unjustly. And it's I and I, it's our people dealing unjustly and ruthlessly with one another. And this is the view that is taken up right here. But we can also apply, right, the first view, right, to the other nations as we are even applying it here in this double portion, the 42nd and the 43rd degree of our sabbatical study here, the double portion for the upcoming Shabbat, this double Shabbat, Shabbat Matot Masae, Sabbath tribes and journeys and tribes of. So the opening verse here, El Nikamot Yahuwah, El Nikamot Hofia, O Jehovah, thou El, thou power, to whom vengeance is belong, thou El, thou power, Hail, almighty power, to whom vengeance is belong, Hofia, Hofia, shine forth. Now, we must not associate any idea of vindictiveness with the word vengeance. In other words, we have to look at the word here from the Hebrew perspective and not from the Western Gentile, counterfeit Christian, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, you know, questionable translation, mistranslation. But looking at it from the Hebrew perspective, looking at the Hebrew words in context, we must not associate any idea of vindictiveness with the word vengeance. In other words, nowadays when one talks about venge and vengeance, usually the examples that we get here in this Western Gentile system, satanic system, is one that's often associated vengeance with vindictiveness. Rather, a more proper translation and bringing out of the Hebrew sense, not just the letter of the law, but the spirit, the ruach of HaTorah, rather the nikama, nikamot, it comes close to the word that we have in English of retribution, retribution. El Nikamot, power of retribution. He who be, who he be, power of retributions. Hofia, shine, shine forth. Vengeance is mine and recompense, the recompense is the payment. The recompense is the payment. For Yahuwah, Jehovah will judge Amo. He will judge his people. What do we have here? Here we have Devarim, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and 35. Let's go here for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and 5. Hold on right here. Going to bring out the Hebrew. Chapter 32 and 5. We often hear, you know, Christians that don't like the Old Testament always taking verses from the Old Testament and trying to give it another spin on it, right? But first things first, let's look at it in context right here. So here, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 5, right? Chapter 32 and 35. Vengeance is mine and recompense. Vengeance is mine. Li nakam with shilein. That's the verse here. The Hebrew li for me. Li mine for me. Li for me. Li nakam. Li nakam. Vengeance or retribution. Vengeance is mine. Li nakam with shilein. Shilein. Shilein is of very much interest here too. When we spoke earlier about the neder, Also a theme here, the Nedarim, the vows, when it says to pay, right? Yishulam, right? Yishulam, Ishalem, Ishalem, Nedarai, Ishalem, like in the psalm, Ishalem, I will pay, Nedarai, I will pay my vows. But in that word, Shalem, we have Shalom. So here it says, with Shalem. So recompense is also payment. Retribution that Elohim Ha'el, the Almighty, will bring up on upon Yisrael Yasharallah for their ukeries, falling short, missing the mark, for their sins, is already prepared. So what we have right here in the context of Devarim, of Deuteronomy, right? That song, Deuteronomy 32, right? Deuteronomy 32, we zoomed in right here to Li Nakam with Shalem. Li Nakam with Shalem. For me, Nakam is retribution. Retribution, mine. With and Shalem. And payment and recompense. Recompense, payment. And it says, for Jehovah will judge his people, for he who be, we be. In verse 36 of Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 32, 36, ki yadim. Now here we have not the shafat sense of weighing in judgment, but we have the yadim, the execution, ki yadim, Yahuwah amo, ki yadim, for execution of judgment, to say judge, Yahuwah, he who be, who he be, amo, for Jehovah will judge his people. Elohim ha'el, ha'el will sentence Yasharallah, Yisrael, to the sufferings they deserve. He will execute justice, tzedek, terdof, justice thou shalt pursue on behalf of Amo, his people, Amo Yisrael, by way of meeting out retribution, shalem. This is when Yeshua said, don't think that I come to bring shalom, peace, you know, like the world brings peace. From a Hebraic perspective, we get the double entendre, so to speak, Hebraically, of Robeinu, Vayinai Rabba, Yeshua, Hanotri, right? Because of the Shalem, Shalom, the payment, the recompense aspect as well. So he will execute justice on behalf of Amo by way of meeting out retribution and Shalem and recompense to their tormentor. So key link right here, the theme right here, speaking about vengeance. We hear a lot of people say, oh, well, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, so just sit down and do nothing. Well, if John says to avenge, then we are to avenge, because we know, according to where they get it from here in the song with the song of Moses here, we have Leah Nakama with Shalem. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 35, and in 36, Ki Yadin, Yahuwah Amo, for Jehovah will judge, will execute justice, right? Execute judgment, right? His people, right? He both will give them the justice that they deserve when they deserve to be judged, Yasharallah, right? And he also will execute justice on behalf of his people. So against Yasharallah Yisrael, right, when they go off, we even find that in this Torah reading and feeding, see as we completing Numbers, we see on one hand, right, he is judging against, right, Yisrael for their uckery, sending Yisrael to sufferings that they deserve, you know, for their uckery. And then here on the next hand, right, he is now executing justice on behalf of his people by meeting out that retribution, right, to the enemies of his people. So we get this balance here, right, this balance. So the moment that we recognize righteousness, tzedek, righteousness, tzedakah, tzedek, righteousness to be an essential quality of the divine nature, of the divine nature, the nature of nature, of the divine nature. It is impossible to overlook the penal activity of the divine government. So the moment that we recognize that righteousness truly is an essential quality of the divine nature, it is not possible. It's impossible to overlook, right, the penal activity. You know, I would say the death penalty, you know, the penal activity, right? The penalty activities of the divine, the divine government. A righteous El, a righteous power, cannot condone hatiyat, sin, akri, falling short, missing the mark, crime, and inhumanity. A righteous El Elohim cannot condone akri, fukri, crime, or inhumanity. When the righteous were downpressed by the ops, and the wicked, the ratchet, the ops triumphant, the psalmist and I, we deem it not only allowable, but their and I sacred duty to pray for the destruction of insolent rulers. This is why we said that we have the supreme judge here is invoked, right? And the act of the word sound, there is evocation and there is also provocation, right? We'll reason on that. The evocation and the provocation, right? So here in the prayer, right, when the righteous are downpressed by the satanic ops, and the wicked, the ratchet are triumphant, the psalmist and I, we deem it not only allowable, but it's I's sacred duty to pray for the destruction, for the deconstruction of the insolent rulers. In fact, even the Rastafari, before I, Barana Selassie, Bob Marley and the Wailers and others, we also heard them say, pray for the judgment day. Our sacred duty to pray for the destruction and deconstruction of the insolent rulers, whether black or white, like Ayabingi, death to black and white downpressers, who poison the foundations of justice and crush the poor, the poor, the widow, and the orphan. Therefore, Hofia, Hofia. Sound like fire, right? Fire, Hofia. In the Hebrew right here, Hofia. We first find Hofia here in the Psalter, in Psalm 50, in Psalm 50, in Mizmor Nun. Mizmor Nun, Mizmor Nun, Psalm El. It's the El Psalm. Yisrael, Israel, arraigned. The arraignment Psalm, Psalm 50. We have the first verse. Just to zoom in, well, actually, it's in the second verse right here, the Hofia, where it says, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, Elohim hath shined forth, me, Sion, me from Sion, from Zion, Mikalala Yofi, Mikalal Yofi, Yofi, beauty, Yofi, Yofe, Yafe, Yufi, perfection of beauty, Mikalal, Mikalala Yofi, Elohim, Hofia, Elohim, Hofia, Elohim, shine, shine forth. Elohim has shined forth. Elohim shines forth. As the sun illuminates the earth, the earthly plane, so Eloheinu, I power brings light and illumination to the human mind and soul and psyche. We have Psalms, 80, right, 80 and 2. We also have Psalms 94 right here, the evening psalm, first verse 1. The passage in Deuteronomy, Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 33 and 2, seems to have been in the psalmist's mind. So when we just look at this word, Hofia, Hofia, shine, shine forth, Hofia. We find it in Psalm 50, right? Hebraically, the second verse. We also find it in Psalm 80, verse 2, and here in the evening psalm, Psalm 94, verse 1. And there is a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 2. So let's go there quickly right here. Deuteronomy 33 and 2. Here in 33 and 2. Let's go here to the last reading in the Torah right here, 33 and 2. And here is what it reads. Let's go verse 1 and, yeah, 1 and, let's zoom in on verse 2 right here. That's the verse. And he said, Yahuwah Jehovah came from Sinai and rose from Seir to them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came from the Myrit holy. At his right hand was a fiery law to them. Wayomar Yahuwah. And he said, Jehovah, Mi Sinai Ba, Yahuwah, Mi Sinai Ba. Wayomar, and he said, Yahuwah, Mia Sinai Ba, Jehovah from Sinai came. Jehovah came from Sinai. Wizarach, and he rose like the light of the sun. Wizarach, Mia Sair, Mi Sair Lamo. And he rose, Zarach, like the light rising. From Seir, Lamo, for them. Hofia, he shined forth. Hofia, Mehar Paran. And he shined forth from Mount Paran. Hear the revelation of the true Trinity, the Hebrew Trinity, even from these three mounts right here simultaneously. But the verse goes on. We ata mea ribibota kodesh mea mino esh dot lamo. And he came from the Myrit. He came from the Myrit holy, Isla. He came from the Myrit holy. But here's the key part. At his right hand was a fiery law. At his what? At his right hand, right? Or from his right hand, me, from Yemino, Yemen, Yemino, his right hand, me, Yemino, from his right hand, Ash, fiery, dot, law, Ash, dot, lamo, a fiery law for them, a law, a Torah, direction, instruction given from the midst of fire and lightning, a law, a Torah, a da'at, that combines mercy with judgment, mercy with justice, mercy with justice. So here, just zooming in on this right here, brothers and sisters and brothers, just to give a little more context to what we have right here. Here, yes, I, the psalm, and the wisdom of the psalm.
These are also the proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out.
Hofia, El Nikamo, to hear here. Evening song.
Psalm 94. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off.
Hophia, 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 shine. KJV has show thyself, but Hophia, Hophia in the Hebrew from the Yafa'a means to shine forth, like to send out beams. In that sense, to send out beams, send out light, to be lit in that sense, to show in a sense of causing light, illumination. So here, Yahweh, Yahweh's vengeance. Yes, Jah vengeance.
Surely will come down on anyone.
Pick up just another version here.
Psalm 94, a chant for the congregation. The Avenger, the vengeance Jehovah, to thee, to the eye belongs. Proclaim thy wrath aloud. Great judge of all, redress our wrongs. Let justice smite the proud. They say, Jah nor sees nor hears. Fools, when will they be wise? Can he be deaf who formed their ears, or blind who made their eyes? Their thoughts shall meet his stern rebuke. He knows them false and vain. But should his saints transgress, a look shall win them back again. Thy chastening arm, who meekly feels that man is greatly blessed, to such thy mercy, Jah, reveals a law that yields him rest. While many a roving dream and care comes over I deep and sad, my wild thoughts branching here and there, thy comforts make I glad.
Psalm 94. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Psalm 94. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. And I said, my foot slippeth. Thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous, and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off.
Double portion, double portion, brothers and sisters. We get a double portion right here, 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 as we complete this fourth book in the wilderness. So we touched on the Matot, the first part of this double portion for Matot, Masai, 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 journeys, trods up. We went through the 33 questions. Right, connected with the first of this double portion for tribes, Matot, Numbers chapter 31, verse 1 to Numbers chapter 32, verse 42. So here, here, here for the Masai, Masai. Now, previously in the Shavuot, went through the synopsis, the overview, Numbers chapter 33, verse 1 to Numbers chapter 36, verse 13. But here, let's touch on a couple of the basic, the parashah, this Torah reading and feeding, the second part of this double portion, some of the questions. So matot, he asks, what is matot? Matot means tribes, so matet. Matet is the staff, or the staff of the tribal leader. So here we have first question here for RSS number 43, the second part of this double portion here for this sabbatical
study, this Ayinai Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong.
The journeys of the sons of Israel. Yes, I. So right here, we have a double.
Av v'habein ruach kadosh for this double portion.
So here, the second part of the double portion, Masai. Someone say Masai. The journeys. Okay. So first question: what does the word Masai? Masa'ei mean, it means the journeys, in the sense of the journeys of, from the Hebrew masa'a. It's a noun that means breaking camp or pulling out, masa'a. So we get masa'ei, the journey, so the breaking camp of, the pulling out of, the journeys of. So masa'ei, for Shabbat, masa'ei, meaning journeys, the tribes, the travels, the masa, breaking camp, pulling out. Second question, what does HaTorah, John's direction instruction, name, right, as, and whom does the Torah name as the leaders of the Exodus, of the Yetziyat, the Sa'at? Here in HaTorah, the leaders are named Moshe and Aharon. In Bamidbar, Numbers chapter 33, verse 1, Torah names Moses, Moshe, and his brother Aharon as the leaders of the Yetziyat, the Sa'at, the coming out, the Exodus. Question 3, whose idea was it to record all the camp locations of the Bnei Yisrael, of the sons of Israel, while they wandered Bamidbar in the desert, in the wilderness? It was a direct commandment of Yahweh, according to Numbers chapter 33, verse 2. Question 4. When exactly did the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, when did the Israelites leave Mitzrayim, Egypt? They set out from Ramesses in the first moon, the first Chodesh, on the 15th day of the first moon, the first Chodesh, according to Numbers chapter 33, verse 3. Ramesses, the Ramesses district was the highest quality, was said to be the highest quality land in the Hecapta, Egypta, in Egypt, in the Kemet, according to Bereshit, Genesis chapter 47, verse 1. It was awarded to Yahawasaf, Yosef, by the Paro Pharaoh. Now, the book, the Seder Olam Rabba, it determines that the date of the Exodus, the date of the Yetziyat, the coming out, to be the morning, right, the dawning of Abib, of the first moon, the first month, a.k.a. the dawning of Abib, also known as Nisan, the first moon, first month, the 15th day, 2448, according to the Hebrew, say the Judaic calendar, or others name it as dated as 1313 BCE. And according to a document, a Judaic document called the Seder Olam Rabba, we date Yetziat Mitzrayim of the Bnei Yisrael to roughly 1440, then the 1400s, roughly 1440 BC. Next question, question five. How did Hael, the power of the Almighty, how did he direct the Bnei Yisrael, the Israelite refugees, as they fled Mitzrayim? Eloheinu, he led Ha'am, the people, Jah people, by manifesting a pillar of cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night, according to Shemot, Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. Question six, what was the name of the first campsite? The first encampment, the campsite, was named Sukkot. Now, Sukkot was an Egyptian Kemetic city, Mitzrayim city, near the border. Now, it's also noteworthy that Sukkot, right, Hebraically means booths, tabernacles, or huts. Booths, tabernacles, or huts, Sukkot, right? We have Numbers chapter 33, verse 5. Also compare that with Shemot, Exodus chapter 13, verse 20. Question 7, what was the name of the second campsite? The second campsite after the first, Sukkot, was Etam, which is, according to the scripts, on the edge of the Midbar, on the edge of the desert. Now, it was here that Paro, the then Paro, we identify Thutmose III, he heard of their location, and he mobilized his great army. Thutmose III had a great army, 17 years of consistent campaigns against all neighbors far and near, and then all of a sudden it stops. He didn't die, you know, but it just stopped all of a sudden. This is the correspondence of the Exodus, and here the Paro, when he heard of their location, he mobilized his great army to go after the escaped Habiru, Hebrew, Aperiu, the Hebrew bondmen, right? In Numbers chapter 33, verse 6, Exodus chapter 13, verse 20, to Exodus chapter 14, verse 2. You know, we need to get out of this idea of the slaves thing and then getting it confused, you know, because the scripture speaks about bondmen, and this terminology slave and slaves does not appear in the text or in the narrative. No wonder ones have so much confusion about it. They're inserting ideas that's not even in the translation they're arguing about. Question eight, what was so unusual about the Bnei Yisrael, the Israelites' third campsite?
That was on the
button right there. Speaker. So what was so unusual about their third campsite called Migdal? What was so unusual? Well, Elohim, he had ordered them to turn back. Hael, the Almighty, ordered the Bnei Yisrael, right, at that third, right, campsite, Migdal, right, to turn back toward Mitzrayim, toward Egypt, in a ploy to destroy the pursuing Mitzrayim Tzabaot, or Tzabah, the Mitzrayim army, by directing the Bnei Yisrael to a place known as Pi HaCherot. Pi HaCherot. Some translate this as the mouth of the gorges. Pi HaCherot, Pi HaCherot. East of Baal Zephon, Baal Zephon, or the Baal, the husband, the Lord, the owner of the north, Baal Zephon. This was said to be a storm god, later associated with Zeus, Zeus or Zeus. Some even say that the Baal Zephon, the Lord of the North, the storm god, may have been associated with Sut, Sutan, Sutek, Setek, where they camped before Migdol, Migdol, before, like in the present, like across from. Here we have Numbers chapter 33, verse 7. Now, this was the site where Paro, Pharaoh's armies, caught up with the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, who were delivered by Ha'el, Ha'el, by miraculously crossing the Yam Suf, the Etrabahim, what is called the Sea of Reeds. If it's the Red Sea, then we say Etrabahir, or the Eritrean Sea. But in the Hebrew, we have the Yam Suf, the Sea of Reeds, in the desert of Etam, desert of Etam, Etam. Question 9. What was Baal Zephon, or Baal Zephon? Baal, Lord, Baal, husband, Baal, owner, Zephon, north. Baal Zephon. Baal Zephon means, in basic translation, Lord of the North. And it may refer to a god, right, from the later view, right, the Hellenes knew as Zeus. The Hellenes knew this one as Zeus, but it also corresponds to the one who the Mitzrayi also would have known as Sut, Sutek, Setek, right, but who abode atop, or said to abode by the top Mount Akra. Akra. Akra is located in Syria, what is called Syria, on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Now, according to Ugaritic texts, texts from Ugarit, the Ugaritic texts, Baal Zephon was the sacred or holy set-apart mountain to the storm god Baal, or among the ancient Kanaani or the Canaanite, in the ancient Canaanite mythology, they called this Baal, this Lord, this husband, Baal Hadad. They called him Baal Hadad, located on the Syrian coast. Now, the cult of this god of the mountain was, quote, transferred. Later on, transferred from the earlier versions, the Baal Hadad, the Suta, Sutek, and was reinterpreted to be Zeus Cassios, Zeus, Deus, Deus Cassios, or the Zeus, right, Deus, the Zeus of Mount Cassios. Now, according to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13, Mount Zaphon is associated with the palace of Satan, the palace of Satan, Diablos. Now, it is said to be unclear if there is any connection between the Canaanite god or Netcher or Elohim, the Canaanite god, and the location of the crossing of the Yam, the crossing of the sea. Question 10. What happened? What happened at the fourth campsite? The fourth campsite called Mara, Mara. Well, they came to Mara, Mara, according to Numbers 33 and 8. Ha'am, Jah people had gone 3 days without finding water. Wuha, Mayi, without finding water. When they arrived at this locale, this location, the water there was bitter, Mara, and therefore they complained against Moshe, right? Moshe, Right. Then asked Hailahim Elohim to help. And he was instructed to throw a tree into the waters, the Mayim, to make it drinkable, according to Shemot, according to Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 to 25. HaTorah. The Torah, it describes this as a nisayon. This was a nisayon, as a test. Torah describes this as a nisayon, a test intended to teach Ha'am, to teach the people, to teach Jah people to trust and to obey Yahweh, He who be, we be HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, according to Shemot, Exodus chapter 15, verses 25 to 26. Now, question 11. After Mara, also where it gets the name Mara, bitter, right? After Mara, what was the next stop on the journey, in their journey? Well, from Mara, Ha'am, Jah people, they trotted south to the Negev, to an oasis called Elim, where there were, according to the scripts, 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. What was there in Elim? In Elim, there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. Perhaps some say the Elim was a foretaste of the Olam Haba, Olam World Haba, to come, the world to come, the Olam Haba, when healing will be for all Yisrael, Yasharala, as well as for the 70 nations of the earth, the 70 nations on this earthly plane, according to Chazon Yohanan, the vision of Yohanan, Revelation of John, St. John the Divine, Revelation 22 and 2. That's an interesting note right there, that 11th question concerning Elim and the 12 springs of water and the 70 palm trees. And some see in this Elim a foretaste of the Olam Haba, of the world to come, the age to come, when healing will be for called Yisrael, for all of Israel, as well as for the 70 Goye Ha'aret, the 70 nations and nationalities of the earth. Revelation 22, verse 2. Question 12. After 30 days, they reached a place called Alush, in the desert, the Midbar of Sin, of Zin. What happened then? And what happened there? Well, the bread the people brought with them ran out. The bread. Anybody got any bread? Nobody had no bread. People were hungry for bread. There was no bread. The bread that people had brought with them from Mitzrayim, from Kemet, ran out. And Ha'am and the people, they complained. Al Moshe wa al Aharon, against Moses, against Aaron. Now, Alush, right, this particular place, Alush, it means I will need bread. No, let's explain this here. Not I will need bread, like I need this, I need that. No, I will need the bread, like you need it, like you're preparing the bread, kneading the dough. In that sense, I will need like dough. I will need the dough for bread. I will need bread, Alush. Ha'ilahim, the Elohim then gave Jah people manna. Right, manna, what is it? In fact, that's why the name manna, who, when they saw it, they was like, ma, like what, who, what is he? Thus it was called manna, what is it? But tested them, another nisayon, tested them to ensure they would not gather any on Yom HaShabbat, on the Sabbath day, which was now revealed as Torato. It was revealed as Torato, as his law, as his direction, as his instruction in Exodus chapter 16. He also sent a plague of quail that covered the camp. This is an incident, right, that is more fully described in Bamidbar in Numbers chapter 11. Question 13. What happened at Rephidim? We just advise the Talmudim, the fellow disciples as well, the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, you know, these names also, they add much, you know, to the fuller comprehension, you know, of what is being said from the proper perspective. 13, what happened at Rephidim? At Rephidim, Ha'am, the people again, they complain that there was no wuha, no water, no mayi. There was no mayi, right, to drink. Ha'ilahim Ha'el, the Almighty instructed Moshe to bring forth water by striking the rock with his staff before the elders of the congregation, before the Ziknei Yisrael, the Ziknei Ha'edah, the elders of the aggregation. Now, this incident is called the Masa and Meribah. We have Masa and Meribah, testing and strife. Testing, Masa, right? Now, the Masa and the other Masa, you have to look at the Hebrew to see there's nuance and difference. So it might look the same in the English transliteration. You know, they have one A, you know, the A is A is A is A, but even in the Hebrew, there are two A's, and the S looks like an S, but there are two S sounds as well, right? So this instance called the Masa and Meribah, or testing and strife, Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 to 7, and Numbers chapter 33, verse 15. Now, later on, Amalek, right, the big boy descendant of Esau's descendant, Amalek attacked Yisrael there. That is where Amalek attacked Yisrael, Yasharal there, according to Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 to 16. Question 14, what happened at Mount Hor? At Mount Hor, Aharon, he died there. He died in the 40th year. He died in the 40th year after the people left Mitzrayim. Aaron was 123 years old, according to Numbers chapter 33, verses 7 to 9. Question 15, what is the date of Aharon's death? Right, and why is it significant? It is said that the date of Aharon's death was the first of Av, the fifth moon, the fifth month, Av, or some would say Av in modern Hebrew, Av in ancient Hebrew, the month of the father, the fifth month, the first of Av, the fifth moon. Later this date, the first of Av and this month, Av, was later to be associated, the fifth month, with the Tisha B'Av. The Tisha is the ninth B'Av of the fifth moon, of the fifth month, of the month of Av. And the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, the destruction of the temple of Yerushalayim, of Jerusalem. Aharon's Yahir Zait, as he would say, or his like, his sitting Shiva, you know, the memorial for Aharon, is the only one specified in HaTorah. So, you know, often Yehudi and Jews and also others, you know, how they would, you know, have certain ceremonies they would do in remembrance of the departed. But here, Aharon, right, the first high priest, and also according to HaTorah, the first Moshiach, the first Messiah, and according to HaTorah, therefore, right, from a New to Old Testament point of view, Aaron would be the first Christ. He would be the Hebrew Christ and the first Christ according to the scripture, that is to say, the first Moshiach. This is why in the New Testament, even in the Epistle to the Hebrews, in likening the likeness of Yeshua HaNotri, Yeshua HaMoshiach, with being Ionai High Priest, we see the ironic comparison. So we can ask, isn't that ironic? The ironic connection there, seeing that Aaron was the first Moshiach, the first anointed. He was the high priest in that likeness. So in Torah, he is the only one to have his, what's called in latter-day Judaism, his Yahzeit, right, his memorial, that mourning for him, is the only one that specified, the only one that specified in HaTorah for Aharon, for Aaron. Question 16, what is special about the mention of the Kananani, right, Melech of Arad, the Canaanite king, the Afro-Canaanite king of Arad, in Numbers chapter 33, verse 40. What's so special about the mention here, here, here? Well, ancient Arad, right, Arad, was located in the Negev, right, the south. And once it was a prosperous, very prosperous Canaanite city. And Israelite temple, right, dating from the time of Shlomo, was said to be discovered at Arad in the northern Negev. The Negev means the south, but the northern part of the south, I guess they're saying, the northern Negev. That was modeled after the tabernacle. That was modeled after the Mishkan. So what is so special about the mention of the Canaanite king of Arad in Numbers chapter 33, verse 40? Well, it's because of ancient Arad being located in the south in the Negev and being a prosperous Canaanite city and an Israelite temple dating from the time of Shlomo. Solomon was discovered at Arad in the northern Negev that was modeled after the tabernacle, even the tabernacle of Moshe, with a holy of holies, Kodesh HaKodashim, Chaverim. Now, this temple was destroyed, apparently as a result of the reforms of Hezekiah in the 8th century B.C. So this particular temple, right, located in ancient Arad, right, and having a Israelite temple there, the temple was destroyed apparently as a result of the reforms during the time of Hezekiah in the 8th century B.C. Take note of this right here, here, here. Can we talk about that many of the place names they give us nowadays in latter-day, you know, Judaism and Christianity? You know, they say, well, this place was that place, and they discovered this or that. We have some serious questions about some of the locations of the place. So this right here is a very interesting note. Question 16 about what was so special about the mention of the Canaanite king of Arad. Question 17, Elohim Ha'el, the power, told Moses, Moshe, to tell the Bnei Yisrael to do five things when they came into the land. Five things, according to Numbers chapter 33, verses 51 to 53. So what are these five things? What are these five things? What are these five things? Well, they were to drive out all the inhabitants, one, to destroy their figured stones and pictures and stuff, two, three, to destroy their molten images, three, to demolish their high places, their bamot, four, and to take possession of the land and settle therein and settle within it. So the five things that the Bnei, the sons of Israel, were told to do was to drive out all the inhabitants, destroy their figured stones, destroy their molten images, including pictures, right, demolish their high places, and take possession of the land and settle within it. So brothers and sisters and Yasharam, Israel, you know, when ones and ones will try to say and dismiss the testimony of HaTorah and the Hebrew scriptures, say, oh, look, the El is a Canaanite god, and Yahweh, look over here, look, we found this statue of gold, this statue of silver, this statue of this or that. Well, this shows that our ancestors, our patriarchs, did not keep, obey, and fulfill, right, Jaward, because if they had, then these things that are found wouldn't be found. But therefore, because these things are found, they also prove the accuracy, right, of HaTorah. right, and the testimony. Note that HaTorah, it also commands that the inhabitants of the land were, according to the order, direction, instruction, were to be killed. According to Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 to 6, right, as well as verse 16, chapter 20, verses 16 to 18. Question 18, Havarim. What did Elohim say would happen if they did not drive out all the inhabitants? What did Elohim say would happen to the B'nai Yisrael? And what as Yisrael, what has happened to us, right, because of what the ancestors failed to do? Well, those that remain will be as, according to HaTorah, they will become those who remain as thorns in your eyes, as pricks in your sides, and they will harass you in the land where you dwell. And we see within that a trajectory to even a lot of the strife that Yisrael and I have to go through, you know, even amongst our own people here and there, or what we think is our own people. But those that remain will be as thorns in your eyes, as pricks in your sides, and they will harass you in the land where you dwell. Moreover, Elohim will deal with Yisrael, with Yasharallah, just as he intended to deal with these inhabitants, just as he had dealt with the Canaanites. So they say, oh, the Israelites are Canaanites. No, not quite, though some we might have married in Judah. We see what happened to Judah and everything. So they are part of, some of them are part of the family. But no, Yisrael's not the Canaanites. But the similarity was already pointed out that if we did not fulfill Yahuwah's will and also our covenant duty and responsibility, that Jah would deal with Yisrael, and he has been dealing with I and I just as he intended to deal with the inhabitants, the Canaanites, the Afro-Canaanites. How? By vomiting them out of the land, by spitting them out of the land, according to Numbers chapter 33, verse 56. There's a couple more questions right here. Probably go up to the 21st question. We have about a half an hour before we go to the grace period of this podcast. But for this second part of this sabbatical study, for the 43rd degree, for Shabbat Masaeh, Sabbath, the journey of, some of the questions right here. Question 19. How many tribes of Israel are there? And how many of these were to receive an inheritance in the land? Now, that would seem like an easy question, right? But really, how many tribes of Yisrael? We said 12 tribes, right? Okay. But have you read? There are 13 tribes. Let me pause and let that settle in for a moment, right? How many tribes of Yisrael, of Yasharallah, are there according to HaTorah? And how many of these were to receive inheritance in the land? How many tribes? There were 13 tribes. And please don't confuse this with the Latter-day book, the 13th tribe. There's that Latter-day book by Koester, the 13th tribe, speaking about the other Jews or the Latter-day European Jews. But no, in HaTorah, there are 13 tribes. Though only 9 plus half of the tribe of Manasseh were given inheritance in the land of Canaan. 9 plus the half tribe of Manasseh were given inheritance in the land, in Afro-Canaanite land, the Canaan, the Canaanu-Anu. Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh, they settled east of the Yarden. They settled east of the Jordan. And Halloween, the Levites, the Lewawion, they were not given territories in the land grant. So how many tribes of Yisrael, Yasharallah, are there? There are 13. Did you know? There are 13. There always was 13. There was 13, right? But how many of them, right? How many of them were to receive inheritance, title to land and land inheritance in the land grant, in the promised land? We have nine, including half of the tribe of Manasseh. So we have nine and a half tribes. Nine and a half tribes were given inheritance in the Canaan. There are 13 tribes, the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the other half of Manasseh, they settled east of the Jordan, of the Jordan. And the Levites, Ha-Lewim, they were not given inheritance in the land. Question 20. How was the land to be apportioned among the tribes? So how was this land grant to be granted? How was the land to be apportioned among the tribes? I submit to you, you know, even a lot of the confusions, even today and even from yesterday, from the time of some of the elders and the so-called pioneer settlers, right, is because of turning their back on the instruction, John's instruction, the glory of his majesty, right? They still, you know, were like the Israelites. You remember the Israelites who came out of Mitzrayim? They came out of Kemet, but Kemet was didn't quite come out of them. It took a generation, right? It took a generation, right? So we have this new generation. So how was the land to be apportioned among the tribes? Well, it was to be divided by lot, or one can say, you know, by lot, by dice, so to speak, by lot, right? According to the size of the clans. According to the size of the various clans or tribes and tribal units and subunits, under the supervision of the tribal leaders, the tribal Nasim, the tribal leaders. Where do we get this? In Numbers chapter 33, verse 54, and in Numbers chapter 34, verses 18 to 29. Question 21, are the boundaries of the land mentioned in this parsha, in this portion, Numbers chapter 34, verses 1 to 15, are they the same as those, the boundaries promised to Abraham, Ha-Ivri, to Avram, Ha-Ivri, Abraham, the Hebrew? No, they are not. So the boundaries of the land grant for the Bnei Yisrael coming out of Mitzrayim, and after the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, this new generation, what's mentioned here in this portion in Numbers chapter 34, verses 1 to 15, they are not the same boundary. They're much smaller than the boundaries of that which was promised to Abraham. So the boundaries defined here, they refer to the immediate allocation of the land when Yisrael, Yasher Allah, first returned to reclaim it according to Elohim's promise, right, to Abraham. In the millennial, the fulfillment of this millennial kingdom of the King of Kings, the boundaries will be extended. Extended where? Well, according to Bereshit, Genesis chapter 15, from the river of Egypt, which is the river of Tobiah, the river of Ethiopia, to the river Euphrates, from the river to the river, right here. And thus we have in Amos 9 and 7 where it says, are ye not as the children of the Ethiopians and the Meo, children of Yisrael? We see the promised land that was promised to Abraham, the fullness. It was between the river of Egypt, which is the Gihon, the river of Tobia, of Ethiopia, to the river of Euphrates. So that means east, right, of the river Nile. And what's interesting is that we find a lot of remnants of the Beta Israel in Africa, right, particularly also, right, in that particular region, east, right, of the river Now, east of the Ethiopian River, known as the Gihon. You see, after 70 AD, when many of the tribes crossed that river and they went into West Africa, we was actually going into other people's land. is going into the Ham land, because Yahuwah said that the land that he had promised would be between those two rivers. So we have to look at the map. So crossing the river, right, the river now, Euphrates, is going into the Ham, right, the land of Ham, the land of Ham. There's a couple more questions here. Let's see if we can just get these questions here. 22 to 32, right, these 10 right here. 22, why were the Levites not given a territory in the land? Well, Elohim sought for them to be spread through the territories to ensure HaTorah, the Torah Da'at, the Torah knowledge, the Da'at, the Gnosis, the Torah science would be available for all. And this also picks up from Jacob, what Yaakov, the patriarch Jacob, said, his deathbed Baraka, right? You know, that Levi will be scattered through Israel. So Elohim spread them through the territories for the reason of ensuring the knowledge of HaTorah, the Torah knowledge, would be available to call Israel, to all of Israel. Question 23. How many cities were given to Halloween, the Levites, and how was it decided who gave them these cities? Halloween, the Levites were given 42, and that number 42, take note, Habarim, the number 42, the Levites were given 42 cities. And yes, we know in ancient Mitzrayim, there were 42 nomes or sacred areas, sacred precincts, 42 cities, right? 42 sacred cities along the Nile, and the Levites here are given 42 cities. And there were 42 campsites and encampments of the children of Israel. And in the Ana Bikoach, the Kabbalistic chant, speaking of the attributes of Jehovah, right, we also have the significance of the 42. So the Levites were given 42 cities among the tribes, as determined by lot, and the territorial size of each tribe. So to the tribes that had more, the Matot that had more land was given. To the Matot, to the tribes that had less land was given. In addition, Halloween, the Levites, the Lewim, they were given sanctuary cities called cities of refuge for a total of 48 cities, according to Numbers chapter 35, verses 7 to 8. Question 24. Outside the cities of the Levites, how much land was to be provided, and how was it divided, and what was each part to be used for? So outside the cities and the suburbs, what's known as the suburbs of Halloween, how much land was to be provided, how was it divided, and what was each part to be used for? Well, each city was to be given a 2,000 cubit. That's roughly 3,500 feet surrounding area divided into two parts. The first 1,000 cubits was to be left open or for cattle grazing, and the outer 1,000 cubits was to be for vineyards, and planting. Note that HaShabbat, the Sabbath walking limit of 2,000 cubits, right, was from one's habitation, was derived from this verse. So there's such a thing later on in the Judaic tradition, arising after the time of Ezra, right, and through the intertestamental time, the 400 years, and even coming more forward and squarely in the New Testament, there was additional rules and regulations concerning sabbatical observation. And one of them was a walking distance of 2,000 cubits. Therefore, this particular, this at first was a suggestion, a recommendation to folks. Later on, it became an additional burden on top of what the Torah says concerning the Shabbat. And thus we get Rabbeinu Yeshua with the scribes and the Pharisees, right? But the Sabbath walking distance, where they got this number of 2,000 cubits, was based on this verse right here. And this is known as the Arub, the Eru, and Judaism is known as Eru, concerning the walking distance. Question 25, how many cities of refuge were given to Levites, and where were they located? There were six, with three located east of the Yarden, the Jordan, and three located within the land of Canaan. So there were six refuge cities or sanctuary cities. Three were located east of the Yarden, outside, you could say, the land grant, and three were located within the land grant or the land of Canaan. Question 26, what is an avenger of blood? What is a Goel Hadam? What is a revenger or an avenger of blood? An avenger of blood, the Goel Hadam, a redeemer, in the Hebrew it's more like a redeemer of blood, Goel Hadam, Ha the Dam, a near kinsman of someone who was killed or murdered by another. In Hebrew, this one known as the avenger of blood is called the Goel, Goel Hadam. Goel Hadam means a redeemer of blood. The avenger was given the legal right on site to kill the murderer. The avenger, the Goel Hadam, was given legal right to kill the murderer, right? The murderer, the murder suspect, right? Unless that suspect was vindicated, unless they was vindicated by trial, by what the Hebrews and the ancient Hebrew, this would have been like a grand jury, unless they were vindicated by trial or grand jury before the congregation and the Kohanim and the Levites, and they remained within a city of refuge until the death of the high priest, until the death of the Kohen Gadol. Question 27, what protection did someone who accidentally, not with malice or forethought or willful intent, killed another have under the Hebrew HaTorah legal system? Well, he was given the opportunity to flee to a city of refuge, to flee to a sanctuary city, and to make his case within the court, the Levitical, the priestical court, within this, for lack of a better word, religious court, composed of members of the Israelite community and the Israelite commonwealth, thus this grand jury sense. If he was cleared of a charge of murder, he was allowed to dwell there under the protection of HaTorah. Question 28, how long must a person who fled to a sanctuary city, a city of refuge, a Levitical sanctuary city, refuge city, remain there to be safe? How long? Until the death of the Kohen Gadol, until death of the Moshiach, the anointed Kohen Gadol, until the death of the high priest. Sounds familiar? Question 29, how many witnesses were required to impose the death penalty for murder upon the murderer? How many witnesses? Two, right? No person shall be, right, put to death on the testimony of only one witness. Numbers chapter 35, verse 30, no person shall be deaded on, put to death on the testimony of one witness. So it required at least two witnesses. Now, well, you get the three witnesses to establish any word, but speaking specifically on the imposition of the death penalty for murder and the murderer, two. Because it says in Numbers 35 and 30 that no person shall be put to death on the testimony of one witness. So that means you can't have one witness. You have to have at least two witnesses. Question 30, what ransom, what payout payola, ransom. What ransom could be given for the life of a murderer? What ransom, y'all, could be given for the life of a murderer according to Torah? None. No one. None. All murderers were to be tried in court and put to death. And when one asks, well, who would put them to death? Well, the near of kin, the kinsman, right? The kinsman, right? The kinsman redeemer in that sense. The kinsman redeemer is also the avenger, known as the Goel Hadam, the revenger of blood. Now, remember that this here is not what Jehovah is not imposing this for the first time, but he's regulating, right, you know, the practice of the people in line with his righteousness. Question 31, could an avenger of blood legally kill someone who was proven to be guilty only of accidental death, like manslaughter, rather than of murder? Yes. Yes, the Goel Hadam, the redeemer of blood, the near kinsman, the kinsman redeemer, yes. That's if the manslayer, the murderer, if the murderer left the city of refuge, the sanctuary city, before the death of the anointed, the Moshiach, Kohen Gadol, the high priest, he could be killed with impunity. Or what the Torah says, there's no blood for him. To say there is no blood redemption for him. In other words, it was a justifiable, right? Justifiable, they say justifiable homicide with impunity by the Goel Hadam, by the avenger, the revenger, the avenger of blood, according to Numbers chapter 35, verses 26 to 28. Lastly, but not leastly, here. What was the, quote, inheritance issue, right, with Zelophehad? What was this inheritance issue with the man named Zelophehad and his daughters? Well, to prevent the transference of inheritance from one tribe to another, and also to prevent civil war among the tribes, to prevent the transference of inheritance from one tribe to another, the daughters of Zelophehad, they were only permitted to marry men within their own tribe. So they can marry whoever they please, but it had to be someone within their own tribe. So there would not be kind of like, you know, if they marry somebody outside the tribe, and then the man that they marry, he may make a claim, or his tribe would make a claim on this land because he is of their tribe, and then that would cause strife among the tribes and also confusion. So here the inheritance issue was concerning the daughters of Zelophehad to prevent transference of the land title, land rights, and land from one tribe to another. The daughters of Zelophehad, they were told they could marry whoever they wanted to within their tribe. And I think their tribe was Manasseh. And Manasseh was a very large tribe at that time. So they had, no doubt, a good set of, hopefully, suitors. Well, here. Got 10 minutes, y'all, right here on the ear and in the iris.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel, O children of Israel? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians, children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, children of Israel, saith the Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
For this double course, 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 double course.
You have a double portion here, sealing up, chazak, wanit chazek. Be strong, chazak, be vigorous, be encouraged, wanit chazek, and make I and I encourage one another. Yes, I, Rastafari. So here we have today's daily psalm, Psalm 42. Now, previous light here in the season, right, we had Psalm 43. Now, 42 and 43, I guess this was so interesting right here because this corresponds here in the season with the 42nd and the 43rd degree of I and I sabbatical study here for Shabbat, this double portion, Shabbat Matot Masa'e. Sabbath tribe, Sabbath journeys of. But previous light, we had Psalm 43. But here for today's daily psalm, according to royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, after order of Melchizedek, we have Psalm 42. And 42 here, it begins the second book of the Psalter, the second book of the Sefer Tehillim, of the Mezmor David, of the Psalms of David, right here. So here, give ear right here. Today's daily psalm, according to the royal order, Psalm 42.
Psalm 42.
תהלים ספר שני מזמור ממבט למנצח משכיל לבני קורח.
As the heart panteth after the water brooks.
כאייל תערוג על אפיקי מים.
So panteth my soul after thee, O God.
כן נפשי תערוג אליך, אלוהים.
My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God?
Thy God.
When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance.
Elohai.
O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance, and my God.
Yeah. In smoking sense of me, John. You gotta give thanks some praise unto the Almighty Lord, John. Oh, yeah. Do it, John. Murder. Make him up in him, John.
Kadamawi.
The whole place is
So here, today's daily psalm. In a royal Amharic, the theme brings out a lament in exile, but a lament in exile, lamentation in exile of a Levite. Here, just riding up right here. Today's daily psalm, according to the royal order. Here we have Psalm 42 right here. Let's see how much we can get in the time that we have here. Four minutes countdown right here. Ones can call in 515-602-9761. Also on the YouTube, Rastafari Israelites. Hopefully you have a full of this hour here. To get into today's daily psalm, Psalm 42, the theme, a lamentation. Of an exile, I and I, the Falasha Mura, we the Falashas, the Beta Israel here of the West, here in the Americas and the Caribbean, a lamentation in exile, a lamentation of a Levite. here, riding out with Royal Amharic here, Dubwise.
So people still searching for this truth here, which this reggae music, you know, bring Christ to them. And the only purpose it serves is to tell the people about Rastafari.
Here, Psalm 42, Dubwise from the Metzhav Kedus, native speaker Abraham Chebuda, here on Sizzler's Heal the Woman, the Zulu 7-inch version.
مزمور 41 بقنف 42 لمزمران علقا يقوري لجوش تمر ولا ودوها من تندم ينافق ابيتون ديهو نفسي ودانت تنافقال نفسي ودهيو املاك تتمك مكي درسالو ياملاك نسكيت مكي آيالو زواتر املاك هو ديتنو سيلون And by a back and in Nabalis Megibhone. Yes, I've given a Usta. What a Xavier bit, what a Misgana, Manorias Fraga Valahuna. Baali Miader Gusa, which is a son named Gana and Alasam. Nafsi Hoy, Lemon Tazmi Alish, Lemon Stawking Alish. If it in Madhani, I'm lucky and I'm a Saganosan. በእግዚአብሔር ታመኝ አምላኬ ሆይ ነፍሴ በኔ ውስጥ ታወከች ስለዚህ በዮርዳኖስ ምድር በአርሞኔምም በታናሹ ተራራ አስብሃለሁ በፏፏቴ ድምፅ ቀላይ ቀላይን ትጠራለች ማዕበልህና ሞገድህ ሁሉ በላይ አለፈ እግዚአብሔር በቀን ቸርነቱን ያዝዋል በሌሊትም ዝማሬው በኔ ዘንድ ይሆናል የኔ ስለት ለሕይወቴ አምላክ እግዚአብሔርን አንተ መጠጊያዬ ነህ ለምን ረሳኸኝ ጠላቶቼ ሲያስጨንቁኝ ለምን አዝኜ እመላለሳለሁ እለዋለሁ ጠላቶቼ ሁልጊዜ አምላክህ ወዴት ባሉኝ ጊዜ አጥንቶቼን እየቀለጣጠሙ ሰደው ነፍሴ ሆይ ለምን ታዝኛለሽ ለምን ስታውኪኛለሽ የፊቴን መድኃኒት አምላኬን አመሰግነው ዘንድ በእግዚአብሔር ታመኝ
ספר שני מזמור מבית למנצח משכיל לבני קורח כאייל תערוג על אפיקי מים כן נפשי תערוג אליך אלוהים צמאה נפשי לאלוהים לאל חי מתי אבוא ואראה פני אלוהים הייתה לי דמעתי לחם יומם ולילה ואמור אליי כל היום, איה אלוהיך. אלה אשכרה ואשפחה עליי נפשי,
כי אעבור בשח את דדם הבית אלוהים וכל רינה ותודה המון חוגג. מה תשתוחחי נפשי ותהני עליי, רוחי לי לאלוהים כי עוד עודנו ישועות פניו. אלוהי עליי נפשי תשתוחח, על כן אזכורך מארץ ירדן וחרמונים מהר מצער. תהום אל תהום קורא לכל צינוריך, כל משבריך וגליך עליי עבר. יומם יצווה אדוני חסדו, ובלילה שירו עמי כתילה לאל חגי. אומרה לאל סלעי, למה שכחתני? למה קודר אלך בלחץ אויב? ורצח בעצמותיי חרפוני צורריית, ואומרם אליי כל היום, איה אלוהיך. מה תשתוחחי נפשי ומה תהמי עליי, רוחי לי לאלוהים כי עוד עודנו ישועות פניי ואלוהי.
Yes, 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 yes. Apologies, apologies, brothers and sisters. Right there, there's ears on mute. Right here, here, here. We have today's daily song, a lament, a lamentation of an exile. From the Amharic perspective, it brings it out a little bit more, a lamentation of an exile, of a Levite in exile. But here we have lamentation of an exile. Here, beginning book two. Book two of the Psalter, Mizmor Mim Beit. Mizmor Mim Beit, Mim Beit, Psalm XLII. Book two of the Psalter, the Book of Psalms, Sefer Tehillim, Mizmor Dawit, has five books. So the Psalm book is divided from the ancient times into five books. And here at Psalm 42, Lament of an Exile, we have right here, 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 Lament of a Falasha, even I and I, the Beta Israel here of the West, here, Mizmor Mim Beit. Book two, Psalms 42 to Psalm 72 comprise the Psalms in book two. And here, the 42nd Psalm, it begins book two. Now, there's some interesting curiosities right here, 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 you know, that we'll like to highlight and zoom in on right here, both in the Hebrew and also as is reflected in the Book of the Seven Seals, the Metzav Kedus, the Bible of the Conquering Line of the Tribe of Judah, the Root of David, Weep Not, Behold, the Line of the Tribe of Judah, Ketamawi, Haile Selassie, and his Bible right here, here, here. So let's see to just connect the dots right here. Here we have for the leader, for the chief musician, a maskil. Maskil has to do with skill, has to do with prudence, has to do with wisdom of the sons of Korah. Also note the sons of Korah before. Remember, there was Korah, the father, right, who rose up in rebellion against Moshe and the proper authority in the camp with Dathan and Abiram. And they, right, went down alive into Sheol, into the Duat, into the underworld. But the sons of Korah, the sons of Korah died not. What is the demonstration of? The demonstration of the 10 words, the 10 commandments, as his Matthew says, his advice to all is to fulfill, right, to fulfill the 10 words, to fulfill the 10 commandments. And the 10 words and the 10 commandments It says, you will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the sons to the third and the fourth generation, those who hate him. So it's clear that Korah, when he rose up in his rebel line, his rebellion, he hated Yahuwah, Jehovah. He went against the rightful order of things, and he was judged. But his sons, right, the sons of Korah, they died not. They died not. So are you what your father is? Are you really what your father is? Here it says that if the sons go along with what their fathers go along with, and the fathers go astray and hate Yahuwah, well, they hate Yahuwah, but we get the sons of Korah being speared. And from the sons of Korah, we trace the lineage even to Shemuel, to Samuel, right, to Samuel. So the sons of Korah, again, we have this heading in Psalms XLIV to XLIX. We have it in Psalms 44 to Psalm 49. We have Psalm 85, we have Psalm 87, and we have Psalm 88. All of them have the superscription for the sons of Korah, Libnei Korah, the Bnei Korah. Now, it is related of Korah that he perished in the abortive revolt, in the foe rebellion, revolution against Moshe. Right. But in Numbers chapter 26, verse 11, it says, but the sons of Korah, the Bnei Korah, died not. We read of the Korahites among the Levitical choristers in the Beit HaMikdash, in the Hekal, in the temple, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 19. Now, the words of the title, some say, they may indicate that the Psalms enumerated were composed by this Levitical family. But more likely, some think they were part of a collection of Psalms of chants, of Isis, for liturgical worship that was used, right, was used to be chanted by them. Hear, 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 lament of an exile. So here from low degrees to high degrees, we have KJV right here, here, here. Let's go to a couple of verses right here, brothers and sisters, and HD of the Midrash. We shared the Midrash, part of the Midrash, but we'll go into a little more detail this time right here if we have enough time to share this right here on the air and in the iris. So here, let's bring this up right here. We have verse 1 and verse 2. From low degrees to high degrees, the KJV, to the chief musician, Maskil. Once again, the Maskil. Maskil instructive, Maskil didactic, Maskil something imparting skill or wisdom. Dawid was said to be Maskil. He showed himself circumspect. In Psalm 47 and 7. Is it Psalm 47 and 7? Which says to give praises with understanding, to give praises with understanding. Let's go here, see if that's Psalm 47. 47 and 7 in the King James Version corresponding with 47 and 8 in the Hebrew. It says, Ki melech kol ha'aretz Elohim, zamru maskil, for the king of all the earth, earth's rightful ruler, Ki Melech, for Melech, the king, call Haaretz of all the earth, Elohim, for Elohim is the king, is the Melech, the goose, even the goose and the guest of all the earthly plain, Zamru, Masakil, sing praises with understanding in the KJV, sing praises, Masakil, Zamru, Zamar, Mezmor, Mezmor, Zamar, Chan Isis, Zamru, Masakil, Zamru, Chan Isis, y'all, in a skillful song, Chan Isis, y'all, with understanding. So the Maskil, just to bring out the Maskil sense right here. Maskil, so what kind of a psalm is a Maskil for the sons of Korah? As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O El Elohim. My soul thirsteth for Elohim, for El High, El Hai, for the living El, the living power. When shall I come and appear before Elohim? Here's what we'd like to zoom in on. When shall I come and appear before Elohim? Because there's a variant reading of it, even from the ancient Hebrew, and we see it also in the Septuagint, but particularly we see it in the Metzav Kedus, right, within the Psalter, the Psalms of the Conquering Lion, the Tribe of Judah, the Root of David, in the Bible of His Imperial Majesty, the Book of the Seven Seals, here in the Mezmure Dawit, here the first verses, here, Psalm 42. Le mezem maran aleka yekore lejocha temherit. Le mezem maran, for the chanters, aleka, for the chief of the chanters, yekore of Korah lejoch, the children of Korah, temherit. Temherit is teaching. Give us a temherit, the temherit and negus and neges. Give us a teaching of His Majesty.
My advice to all, is to fulfill the Ten Commandments.
So here, Mezmor Arba An, the Kinswista Arba Hulet. Psalm 41. In the parentheses 42, corresponding to the later numbering, superscription, Le mezem rana leka, yekore lejoch temherit, for the chief musician, the chief of the chanters, a teaching, a temherit of the sons of Korah. Puter an, verse 1. Wala, wada wicha mincha endemina fika betu, indihu nefse, wada ante te nafkalech. Here, corresponding with the first verse right here. Wala, wala. Now we have the wala, we have the deer. Let's put it like the deer, wala, the wuha, to the water, minch, to the water source, in the mia nafik, as the deer, as he pants to the water source, so I see nafik, right, as he longs for, right, in the mianafik, as the deer or the heart panteth to the source of the water. Wala wada toward wuha, the water minch, the wuha minch, the water source, like the water spout, the water fount, in the mianafik, as he longs, abetu, my father's father, or Abba, the beta, abetu. Indihu, like this, nefse, my soul, my psyche, she, water ante, to ante, to the I male, tinafkalech, she longs. So as the heart longs for the source of the water, Abir to my father of the house, like this, my soul, nefse, my psyche, what a ante, to ante, speaking directly to he who be, we be, what ante, tinafkalech, she longs, kuter hulet, verse 2, nefse, what a hiyao amlak titemacha, meche darzalo, Nefse, my soul, my psyche, corresponds with the Hebrew, the nefesh, nafshi, my soul, my psyche, she. So the soul, right, in her Torah, in the scripts, Afro-Shemitically speaking, is she. Nefse, my soul, where there, toward hiyao, the living. I'm like, he y'all, the living God. In the Hebrew, we say le'el, te'el, hai, le'el, hai, the living, he y'all, I'm like, te'temach, she's thirsty, my soul, she's thirsty, right, forward towards the living source. Meche, when? Meche darsalo, when will I reach? So here, putting this as a dialogue in the psyche, in the soul, in my soul, nefseh water hiyao amlak tetemach, she's thirsty, she thirsts, meche edersalo, and thus, in a sense, saying, meche edersalo, my soul is saying, when will I reach? When will I reach the living power, le'el hai? When will I reach to that divine water? First question, meche, when? Edersalo, when will I derese darash? Edersalo, when will I reach? Yamlakanis, and of the amlak of the source, feet, the feet, mamarinya is the face, yamlakanis feet, yeah, of amlakanis, and concerning my power's face, the perspective, the face, how you face it. How you see it. Yeah, Amalakanis feet, the face, the perspective of my God, of my power. Meche Ayalo? Meche Ayalo. Meche when Ayalo. Ayalo. I will see. Ayalo. I will see. Here as a question. Meche Ayalo? Meche Ayalo? When will I see? When will I see the face? When will I see the face of the power of God? Now, here, let's bring it down to the Hebrew right here. That's the first two verses, right, from the Metzav Kedus of Negusa Negest, the conquering line of the tribe of Judah, His Imperial Majesty Haile Selassie First Bible, right here, the Psalms. And here, from the Hebrew, we have, Lamnatseya Maskil Libne Korah, for the leader, the chief musician, the overcomer, Maskil, wisdom, circumspection, a teaching of the B'nai Korah, the sons of Korah. Kayala taroga alifikei mayim. Kenashi taroga leka Elohim. As the heart, kayal, as the heart, as the male deer, ta'irog. The ta'irog is interesting here because the ta'irog means she thirsts. We get into some of this. There's something called haplography. In other words, some say since the verb here, ta'rog, is feminine, and ayal is the male deer, the female deer is the ayalet, with the tau, the T at the end, ayalet. Haplography is like when a letter is dropped out. So some think that actually it originally was k'ayalet, ta'rog. But the te at the end of ayalet got dropped off. So from the feminine deer or the hind, it becomes here the ayal. Now, ayal is an interesting word, too, because ayalet in the Amharic means to, like, overpower, to be strong. It's related to the more archaic form, the hayalet. So we say hayal. We say El. We say El to say God. We say Ayel. So Ayel, even the Hebrew, is linked to strength and power and might, the Ayel. And when we contract that word, this is where we have the Hebrew word for God and Almighty in El and Elohim. So Ayel, contracted El, uncontracted is Ayel, which also means like a heart, a deer, right? So we have ka'ayah. And if you say, well, why is this? Because it also relates to the ram, like the horns, like that, you know, the horns, the twisted, the power, twisted, right? In that sense there. So we have ka'ayah. So some say that actually was ka'ayalet taro, but the tau in ayalet got dropped off. So transforming the word from the female deer to the male deer. As we have, according to the Ketiv, what is written, K'ayal ta'erog. But as it is written, it's saying that K'ayal, as a male deer, ta'erog, as she pants. So as a male deer is panting like she, alifik e'mayi, after or upon the water, right, the water brooks, Cain, so. Yes, so like this, Cain, nafshi, so my soul, ta'irog. Now, what's interesting is that the ayalet, in the feminine sense, ayalet is she, and the nafshi is she. So we have Cain, nafshi, soul, my soul, ta'erog, she is panting. Aleika, ale, to the ka, to the I, male, aleika, Elohim, soul, my soul. So as the deer, right, pants like she, after the water brooks, Cain, nafshi, soul, my soul, my psyche, Cain, nafshi, ta'erog, she is panting. Right, aleika, aleika, after the eye, to the eye, Elohim, O Elohim. So here in the Hebrew, this is the Gimel verse, but in your Bibles, KJV, the second verse, Tama nafshi le'Elohim le'el hai, matai abo ve'era'eh p'nei Elohim, my soul thirsteth for Elohim. For the living El, Le El Hai, for El, the Almighty, the power, Le El Hai, the living power. Matayabo, when shall I come? Matai, Bamarini, we say Meche Dersalo, in the Ibrahim, in the Hebrew, we say Matai, when? Matai abo, when shall I abo? When shall I come? Matai abo, we era'e. Now we have era'e. Era'e is to become visible. When will I be like seen? When will I appear in the sense of when will I be visible? When will I be seen? We era'e. And be seen, pene, the face, the presence, pene Elohim. So this can be translated as before Elohim, or when shall I like see the face of Elohim? But here, according to the pointing we have here, we era'e. So what is era'e? The Hebrew, when shall I go and appear to the face of Elohim? Bringing out a direct of the Hebrew, when shall I go and appear to the face of Elohim? Matai abo we'era'e p'nei Elohim. Or other translation, when shall I come and appear before Elohim? Now, some look at this and amend the Nephi, right, of ra, to see, the Nephi of the verb. We have era'e in the Hebrew is I will appear. I will be seen. Era'e. I will appear. I will be seen. To the kal. The kal of this would be er'e. So the letters are the same, but the tonal pointing changes, right, changes the context. So as era'e is I will appear, I will be seen. Er'e is I will see. Er'e is I will see. So here when we look at the Metzav Kedus of Negus Neges and the Septuagint, they have this secondary, I will see. Er'e. So if we read this like this, Matai abo we'er'e b'nei Elohim. This would be, when shall I go and see the face of Elohim? And see the face of Elohim. And both of these readings are true. This is why some interpret this as a lamentation, a lament of a Levite, right? Because of the close proximity, right, of the Levites and the Kohanim and the tabernacle and the temple. They were around the ark and the holy things. So in a sense, they were in the presence or before, right, the face, the presence. So to go before the presence of Elohim is like to go before the presence of the ark, right, according to HaTorah, right, or to go into the tabernacle courts facing the direction of the ark. So here, with the reading that we have in the Metzav Kedus of His Majesty, brings out this second sense. The Amla Kenis feet, Meche Ayalo. And the face of the Amla, the face of the source, Meche Ayalo. Meche, in the Hebrew, we have Matai. Matai Abo. when shall I go with Erae and appear, or with Erae, with Erae, and see where, where Pene Elohim. Matai Abo Erae Pene Elohim. When shall I go and see the face, right, of Elohim, or Matai Abo with Erae Pene Elohim. When shall I go and appear before Elohim? And what's interesting about this is that those who had a duty of service in the context of the tabernacle, they could say Er-eh, Er-eh, to see, right, to see the face. I will see, right, I will see the face, right? While the other worshipers, the rank and file Israelites, they would come during the pilgrim festivals to appear before the face, right, to appear before Elohim, right, in the holy city and in the courtyard of the tabernacle or the courtyard of the temple. Just to bring out this particular sense right here, because in the Metzaf Kedus, His Majesty's Bible, sometimes the translation would favor the Hebrew and even the archaic Hebrew. And at other times, right, in a word, in a verse, or area, it would favor the Septuagint, which proves that the Ethiopian ancient version that His Majesty translated it from, right, was a totally different version than any of the versions we have now. We have a version of a version now, but it's an interesting study right here. Just bring that out right at this particular point on the second verse. When shall I go? Right, Abo is like to go in that sense. It could be to come, but more in a go sense. Matai Abo, when shall I go? Where Erae and appear? Where Erae and see Pene Elohim? And see the face of Elohim.
My advice to all, advice to all, is to fulfill the Ten Commandments.
Rastafari, to look upon your pretty, pretty face. We want to walk the streets of glory, shining around your throne. So not the Gentiles, them to come, run, come look upon your pretty, pretty face. We are going home, going home, to seek in Rastafari.
Pull up that one, your justice. Hey, pull up this Rastafari number.
For with stammering lips and another tongue, for with stammering lips and another tongue, for with stammering lips and another stammering lips and another stammering lips and stammering lips to this blaspheme, to this blaspheme, to this blaspheme, to this blaspheme. For with stammering lips and another tongue, and another tongue to this blaspheme, to this blaspheme, to this blaspheme, to this blaspheme.
Shalom, Chabarim, Shalom. Today's daily psalm, according to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, and here, after the order of Malkiah, Tzedek. Mizmor Mim Beit, Mizmor Mim Beit. Here, Psalm 42. Here we begin Book 2 of the Psalter, Book 2 of the Sefer Tehillim, the Hebrew Psalter, Book of Psalms. Psalm 42. Here, a midrash, a study from the Sefer Tehillim, from the Psalter, today's daily psalm. Lament of an exile. A lament, lamentation, a lament of an exile. Here, picking up Book 2, Psalm 42 to Psalm 72, comprising Book 2 of the Sefer Tehillim, of the Book of Psalms, of the Psalter. Opening verse. La menatzeach, maskil libnei Korach. For the leader, la menatzeach, maskil, maskil, the wisdom, the circumspection, the wisdom. Libnei Korach, of the sons, libnei Korach, of the sons of Korach. Laminatzeach, Maskil, Libnei Korach. Zahu Shamar Hakatub. These words are to be considered in the light of the verse, even the verse from Mishlei Shlomo, the Proverbs 15 and 24. To the wise, Maskil, the way of life is above. To the wise, the way of life and liberty is above. Yeah, Mishlei Shlomo, Proverbs of Solomon, chapter 15 here, verse 24. Orach Chayim, Le Ma'ela, Le Maskil, the path of life. Orach Chayim, Orach, path Chayim of life. Orach Chayim, Le Ma'ela, Le Ma'ela, goeth upward, is upward, Le Ma'ela, Le Ma'ela, Le Maskil, for the wise, Le Maskil. To the wise, Le Maskil, to the wise, the way of life is above. Orach Chayim, Le Ma'ela, Le Maskil. Wechen Hale'e, and so forth. Refer here to the commentary on Psalm 32, the commentary on Mizmor Lamed Beit, the commentary here in the Midrash Sefer Tehillim on Psalm 32. Ke'ayal ta'irog ala ifuke mayim, as the heart panteth after the water brooks. Ke'ayal ta'irog ala ifuke mayim, as the heart, ke'ayal, ke'ayalet ta'irog, as the heart, ke'ayalet ta'irog al ifike mayim, as the heart panteth after the water brooks. Here, today's daily psalm, the bait, second verse Hebraically. What is meant by the words of Dibarim, ke'ayalet ta'irog al ifike mayim? What is meant by the words, as the heart panteth? Ke'ayalet ta'irog. The verse does not say, the hind. Now here we have a kare and a katib. The katib, right, according to what is written, and the kare, what is said. What is written here is ke'ayal, ke'ayal. Ayal right here is bringing out the male sense. Right, the male sense is the heart, right, the heart, looking at the heart and the hind, the heart, right, the heart is the ayal, is the masculine, right, now the ayalet is the feminine, so here in the Midrash it says that the verse does not say as the hind, ke ayalet ta'erog, but ke ayal ta'erog, as the heart panteth. Furthermore, the noun here, according to the katib, according to what is written, is masculine. However, the form of the verb is feminine. Ta'erog. Now, some see what we have right here is, so since the accompanying verb, ta'erog, is feminine in form, the noun, ayal, the ayal, a male deer, called a heart. The heart is the male deer, the ayal. Right? It should be amended. Some have it as ayalet. And ayalet is the female deer or the hind. So the male deer, the heart, the female deer, the hind. The male deer, the ayal, the female deer, the ayalet. Now, there's something called hyplography. Hyplography, some say the hyplography has occurred, right, of the letter tau, tau or tav, has occurred. And we can note this right here. When we look at the word, we have ke, ayal. So some say that the hyplography, right, hyplography has dropped the tau or the tet from the ayal and ayalet, right, and just has the ta as we have in the verb that is feminine, ta'erog. So here, according to the katib, according to what is written, it says ke ayal ta'erog. So what is meant by the words as the heart, the ayal, ke ayal ta'erog? The verse does not say as the hind. According to the katib, what is written, it does not say ke ayalet, but ke ayal ta'erog. Furthermore, the noun ayal is masculine, but the form of the verb ta'erog is feminine. Thus, the hind, the ayalet, suffer pain in her labor, and panting ta'erog, and panting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Holy One, praise, blessed be He, who answers her. stands for the B'nai Korah, for the sons of Korah, for the sons of Korah, calling in their trouble too. HaKadosh, the Holy One, Baruch Hu, blessed, increased, prospered, praise be He who answers them. Hence, hear, 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 it is said, K'ayal ta'erog, as the ayal, as the male deer, as the heart panteth, K'ayal ta'erog. And what is meant by al ifike mayim, after the water brooks, or upon, al, up on, ifike mayim, the water brooks. What is meant by the words after the water brooks? Al ifike mayim, the hind, the ayalet, ayalet, the female deer, the ayalet is the most Elohim reverencing, fearing, respecting of animals. The hind, the female deer, the ayalet, is the most Elohim, God, power, reverencing, fearing of animals. And so when the animals are thirsty, they gather near the hind. They gather near the ayalet. They gather near the female deer. And here, here we have a midrash. Midrash note right here. Midrash note says, see above here, these two psalms, Mizmor Mim Beit, and Mizmor Mim Gimel Mim Gamel, Psalm 42 and 43, are joined in one psalm, or as one sense. The two psalms, they go together. There's a chorus line that goes through both of these two psalms right here, here, here. And here, go to the Midrash. The Midrash here is pointing us to the Midrash on Psalm 22 and the 14th section, the 14th parak. And here in the Midrash on Psalm 22, here, 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 Midrash on Psalm 22. And another comment on, for the leader, upon the hind of the morning. The opening verse here for Mizmor, Mizmor Kaf Beit, here, here, here. Zooming in on the Midrash here, opening verse, La Menatzeach, Al Ayelet Ha Shachar. Opening verse of Mizmor Kaf Beit, Psalm XXII, Psalm 22, theme, the cry, a call for help. Opening verse called the superscription, the title, La Menatzeach, Al Ayelet Ha Shachar. For the leader upon the hind, La Menatzeach, for the Menatzeach, for the leader, chief musician, the overcomer, La Menatzeach, Al upon Ayelet. Al ayelet, al ayelet, upon the hind, the female deer, ha shachar of the morning, ha shachar, la menatzeach, al ayelet, ha shachar. Rav Yehuda bar Shimon, Rabbi Judah bar Rav Simon taught, a hind, the ayelet, the ayelet, the female deer, the hind's horn is brought into the house, the bait, in that snakes makes nests, in that snake's nest, the hind, a hind's horn, a female deer's horn, a hind's horn is brought into a house in which snakes nest. And the interior of the house, the bait, is fumigated with it so that every snake quickly flees. And here, here, Midrash, within the Midrash note right here, even so when Esther came into the king's house, Haman quickly fled. Midrash note right here. So even so, when Esther came into the king's bait, into the king's house, Haman quickly fled. Haman quickly fled. And this reference on the hinds, the female deer's horn right here, here in the Midrash note, this is also found in Pliny, Historia Naturalis, Volume 8, 3350, according to Ginsburg Legends 559. So this is found in Pliny, concerning a hind's horn, ayelet, the female deer's horn being brought into a house in which snakes nest, and the interior of the house is fumigated with it, so that every snake quickly flees. Even so, when Esther came into the king's house, Haman quickly fled. You find also that when a hind, a ayelet, the female deer, is thirsty, she digs a hole, puts her horns into it, and pants, ta'erog, ta'erog, and she pants. Thereupon, the deep causes waters to come up for her sake, For it is said, even here, in today's daily psalm, in Mizmor Mim Beit, Main Beit, Ke Ayelet Arog Al Efikei Mayim. Thus it is said right here, Ke Ayal Ta'erog Al Efikei Mayim. As the heart panteth after the water brooks. But the Rebbanim, the scholars of Torah, the rabbis said, the hind, the ayelet is the most God-fearing. Hachi Yerei Elohim is the most Yerei Elohim, is the most Elohim reverencing of all animals. For her love, for her young, is very great. And so when the other animals are thirsty, all of them come to the ayelet. All of them come to the female deer. All of them come to the hind. Knowing that her deeds are Yerei Elohim, or Elohim, respecting, reverencing, and that when she lifts her eyes to Shemayim, to the heavens, HaKadosh, the Holy One, Baruch Hu, blessed be He, will show mercy to them also. And what does the hind do? What does the ayelet, the female deer, do? She digs a hole, puts her horns into it, and pants, ta'erog, 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 and the deep causes waters, mayim, waters to come up for her sake. For it is said, even right here, ke ayal ta'erog al efikei mayim, as the heart panteth after the water brooks. When David realized this, namely that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears the hind, hears the ayelet, hears the female deer, he arranged in her honor the psalm, even the psalm right here, Mizmor Kaf Beit, the title superscription, Psalm 22, Laminatzeach Al Ayelet HaShachar. For the leader, the chief musician, the overcomer, La Menatzeach, Al Ayelet HaShachar, upon the hind, Al Ayelet, upon the female deer, Al Ayelet HaShachar, of the Shachar, of the dawning, of the morning, La Menatzeach, Al Ayelet HaShachar. Hine, Shema, Shema'uli. In another comment, the verse is read, Ke Ayelet, as the female deer, as the hind, Ke Ayelet Ta'erog, as the hind panteth, Ke Ayelet Ta'erog, even as the hind, the Ayelet, panteth, Ta'erog, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the Holy One, blessed, praise be He. So did Esther say, I am as a hind. Hasten to help me. Hasten to help I. Even here in Mizmor, in Psalm 22, Hebraically the 20th verse. So did Esther, Astir. So did Esther say, I am as a hind. Hasten to help me. Hasten to help I. Ve'ata Yehovah ala tirchaka ayaluti le'ezrati chusha. Full of verse here. But thou, ve'ata, and I, wa'ata Yehovah Jehovah, be not far off. Al tirchak, be not far off. Ve'ata Yehovah al tirchaka. O thou, my strength, hasten to help me. O thou, my strength, hasten to help I. Ayaluti, O my strength. Ayaluti, le'ezrati, for my help. Chusha, hasten, be quick. Chusha, hurry. Chusha. Ayaluti, le'ezrati, chusha. Wata Yahuwah, al tirchaka. Ayaluti, le'ezrati, chusha. And here, Midrash, note right here. In the Yehudi version, O thou my strength, Eyaluti, may be rendered either as hind, as ayelet, the female deer, or as strength coming from the ayel, chayel. Eyaluti. Eyaluti, le'ezrati, chusha, Ama nafshi le Elohim le El Chai. My soul, she thirsteth for Elohim, for the power, le El Chai, for the living El, le El Chai, le El Chai. Ama nafshi le Elohim le El Chai. Here, here, here. Today's Psalm here, Hebraically, the Gimel. Hebrew, in the Hebrew, the Gimel, the Gamel verse, the third verse right here, here, here. Yisrael, Israel, is asked, for what dost thou thirst? Israel is asked, Yasharal is asked, for what doest thou thirst? What is the I thirsty? She replies, I thirst neither for food nor for drink. I thirst to see thy face. As is said, my heart said to thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. My heart said to thee, to the eye, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hear, hear, hear. Psalm 27, Hebraically, verse 8. Psalm 27, in the Hebrew, Sefer Tehillim, verse 8. Leka amar libi, bakshu afanai, etapaneka Yahuwah evakesh. In thy behalf, leka, lecha, leka. Lecha, amar libi abakshu fanai, in thy behalf my heart hath said, seek ye, seek y'all my face. Lecha, amar libi, bakshu fanai, seek y'all, bakshu, seek y'all fanai, seek y'all my face, my presence, my perception, seek y'all my face. Lecha, amar libi, bakshu fanai, et paneka, thy face, et paneka, Yahuwah, et paneka, Yahuwah, O Jehovah, ebakesh, will I seek, lecha, amar libi, bakshufanai, et paneka, Yahuwah, ebakesh. Hence, hear, it is said, my soul thirsteth for Elohim, le'el chai, for the living El, for the living God. Tzama'ah nafshi le'lohim le'el chai. My soul nafshi, she thirsteth. My soul, she thirsteth. Tzama'ah nafshi. My soul, she thirsteth le'lohim, for Elohim. Le'elohim, le'lohim, for the source, for the power. Le'el chai, le'el chai, for the living, chai, chai, el, for the living almighty I, for the living power. Tzama nafshi, le'elohi, le'el chai. My tears have been my food. Haitah li, dim'ati, lechem. My tears, dim'ati, has become for me my bread, my food. Here, 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 today's psalm is Mormin Beit, Psalm 42, Hebraically here, the fourth verse. Haita li dim'ati lechem. My tears have been my food. From this one learns that trouble, tribulation, trials, and trouble so fills up a man, so fills up a human being that he does not want, does not seek to eat. As Elkanah said to Hannah, even in 1 Shemuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 8, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? Why weepest thou? Why does the eye weep, and why doesn't the eye eat? Why does the eye weep? Why doesn't the eye eat? Why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? Vayomer lah el kana isha hanna lama tivaki lama lo tokli lama yera'a levavech hallo anoki atov lak me sara banim. And Elkanah, her husband said to her, Hannah, why? Why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Vayomer lah. And he said to her, Elkanah isha. And he said to her, Elkanah isha, Hannah. Said to her, Isha Chana, Lama, why? Tivki, with Lama, lo, tochli. Why, Hannah? weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? Lama tivki, tivki. Why weepest thou, speaking to she, lama tivki? With lama lo tokali, and why eatest thou not? Lama tivki, with lama lo tokali. Al-Kain, therefore, from this one learns, hear, from this verse, it follows that weeping fills one up. Hence, hear, it is said, my tears have become for me my food, my bread. Haita li, becoming for me. Haita li, dimati, my tears. Haita li, dimati, lechem, becoming for me my tears, bread. Haita li, dimati, lechem. These things I remember and pour out my soul within me. Hear, today's Psalm 42, Hebraically the fifth verse. These things I remember and pour out my soul within me. I pour her out within I. Eile zekra with eshipacha alai nafshi. These things I remember. Eile these ezekra. I remember. Eile ezekra. These things I remember. With eshipacha alai nafshi. And pour out with eshipacha. With eshipacha. With eshipacha. And eshipacha. And pour out. Alai, upon I, on I, with eshipacha, alai, nafshi, my soul, my psyche, she. Eile zikra, with eshipacha, alai, nafshi. I recall what thou dost, what thou didst doest to our fathers, our patriarchs, Bamidbar, in the wilderness, because they said, these things be thy gods, O Yisrael, O Yasharal, in Shemot, in Exodus chapter 32, verse 4. I recall what thou, the I, this done did, this to our fathers, our patriarchs in the wilderness, Bamidbar. Because they said, Eile Eloheika Yisrael. Eile Eloheika Yisrael. Eile these things. Eile these. Eloheika. 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 Thy Elohim. Yisrael. Yasharallah. These things be thy Elohim, thy gods, O Israel. Eile Eloheika Yisrael. And recalling what thou didst and did. Nafshi, my soul, my psyche, she pours out. She pours out within me. She pours out within I. Another comment. I call to mind, Eile, Ezekra. I recall what Moses said, even in Bamidbar, in Numbers chapter 29, verse 39. These things shall y'all do to Yahweh, in your set festivals, in your set feasts, in your set festivals. Eile. Ta'isu la Yahuwah bi mo'edeikem. These things, Eile, ta'isu, shall y'all do la Yahuwah to he who be, we be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, bi mo'edeikem, in your set festivals. These y'all shall do too, Yahweh, in your set feast, in your mo'edeikem. When I traversed the land in shade, I struck them dumb, for as long as the house of God was standing. Hear. Today, Psalm 42, here he breaks the fifth verse, being brought out as, when I traversed, I trod the land in shade, I struck them dumb, for as long as the house of God was standing. Ki e'ebora basaka e'dadeim ad beit Elohim. Here being brought out in the Midrash of the Sefer Tehillim. When I traversed the land in shade, when I trod the land in shade, basak, I struck them dumb for as long as the house of Elohim was standing. Ki e'ebora basaka. Edadim adabate Elohim. And here, Midrash note. Generally, this verse here is rendered as, how I passed on with the throng and led them to the house, to the bait, ad bait Elohim. So this verse here, brought out as, when I traversed the land in shade, when I trotted the land in shade, I struck them dumb for as long, Ad Beit Elohim, as long as the house of Elohim was standing. The sense here was standing. Ki e'ebor basak et adim Ad Beit Elohim. How I pass on with the throng and led them to the house, to the Beit Elohim. How I passed on. Ki e'ebor. Ki e'ebor, how I Hebrewed, I crossed over, I passed on. Ki e'ebor, ki e'ebor, ki e'ebor, basak, basak. Et dadim, abet Elohim. What, ma ze, what is meant by the words in shade? Here, what is meant by the words basak, basak. Ki e'ebor, basak. How I pass on. Basak. Some translators translate as the throng. Some translated how I pass on with the throng. Here, when I traverse the land in shade. So what is meant by the words basak, in sak, in shade? They mean that when I and I went up to the Mo'adim, the feast, the festivals, the appointments to see Faneka, Faneka, the eye face, we traveled, trotted in litters that had shades, resembling a sukkah, a hut, a pavilion, a booth, a tabernacle. And we came, we and our children, I and I youth them, in such a great throng that the nations, the Gentiles, the Goyim, were struck dumb in our presence, in I and I presence. So here, bringing out the sense of sak, sak here, we have sak right here, like sukkah, right, from the sukkah. So sak and shade, linking with the sukkah in the ki e'ebor basak. When I traverse, I cross over, ebor, e'ebor, ki e'ebor, when I cross over, right, when I cross over, basak, right, basak. This means that when I and I went up and go up and make aliyah up to the feast, the festivals, the Mo'adim, to see Paneka, to see the eye face, we trod in litters that resemble shades, right, resembling a sukkah, basak, sukkah. And we, I and I came, we, I and I children, in such a great throng that the nations, the Goyim, the Gentiles, the international community were struck dumb in our presence. When I traversed the land in shade, I struck them dumb as long as the house of Elohim was standing. Ki e'ebor basaka et dadim ad beit Elohim. When I tried it, I traversed, I crossed over, I Hebrewed. Ki e'ebor basak. Traversed the land basak in shade. I struck them dumb et dadim. I struck them dumb for as long ad as the house of Elohim, ad beit Elohim, was standing. That is, as long as the Heikal, the Beit HaMikdash, the holy house, the Heikal, the temple, was standing, the nations, the Goyim, the international community, were struck dumb, speechless, in my presence. But now, I am struck dumb in their presence. Hence, hear, the words right here, edadim, ad beit Elohim, I struck them dumb. I made them speechless. I struck them dumb. Et dadim ad beit Elohim. For as long as the house, the Beit Elohim, was standing. With the voice of joy, with the voice, the vocal of joy and praise, b'kol rina v'toda, b'kol rina v'toda, b'kol rina v'toda, when I traversed the land, ki e'ebor, when I trotted the land, how did I traverse? How did I cross over? How did I Hebrew? Ki e'ebor. How did I try the land, traverse it? With the voice of joy and praise. Bikol arena with Torah. Bikol, in the call, the voice. Bikol arena, arena, joy with, and Torah, Tawada, and Torah, and praise and thanksgiving. When I traverse the land with song and cymbals, and with shouts of joy, yeah. Hence, hear, hine, shema, shmuli, the phrase, with the voice of joy, bekol rina, bekol in the voice, rina, rina, in the voice of rina, in the voice of joy, bekol rina. In the phrase, a multitude a multitude. In the phrase chogeg, chogeg, we have the word chogeg. In the phrase chogeg, what is meant by chogeg? What is meant by chogeg? Here we have the call rina witorda, hamon chogeg. Hamon, a multitude, chogeg, chogeg, keeping a holy day, keeping a holiday. Hamon, chogeg. So in the phrase, a multitude, chogeg, what is meant by chogeg? Now here, Midrash note. Midrash note is, this here is usually read and usually translated as a multitude, hamon, a multitude, hamon, a multitude, chogeg, 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 keeping, keeping the holiday, keeping the chag, keeping the feast, the festival, keeping the holy day, the Isla day. But here the question is brought on the Midrash as what is meant by chogeg. So here the Midrash brings out the link with the Greek agagos, agagos, agagos in the Greek, which means an aqueduct. Thus, like the water of an aqueduct that has no definite limit, there was no limit to the multitude of children, of the children of Yisrael, the multitude of the children of Tri Yasharala, as they came up, as they did Aliyah, made Aliyah up to the festivals, to the Mo'adin, the Mo'adei Yahuwah HaKadosh, Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem. Hence, here it is said, Kan Ne'mar, a multitude overflowing. Here bringing up the sense of Chogeg, linking it even with the Agagos, a multitude Hamon chogeg, a multitude overflowing, a multitude chogeg, 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 chogeg.